Great. Rest of your sleep, but I got at least one live one. Isn't it great? Labor Day weekend. Gotta move away Butch's stuff. He gets stuff in the way over here, so I can't see. We'll find time. Yeah. Something I want to touch on real quick. You'll see that we've got the little missionary characters up front. And the Hmong have their missions conference at the end of this month, and they're starting on their intro stuff. Their Sunday school classes are learning a couple skits and things like that. And they're leading up to missions. And we are going to be having our missions conference not the end of this month, but the first weekend in August or in October. Don't mind me, I'm just trying to speak. October 2nd and 3rd. We will be having the missionary in residence from Crown College who serves in Bosnia. So this is a unique area, Kosovo. Somewhere in that Balkans type area. Kosovo. I don't know why I was thinking Bosnia, but it's close by. Kosovo. Anyhow, they will be here on the 2nd and 3rd. So please plan that on Saturday and Sunday for a couple extra services that we will be gathering together for a couple of different events. Hopefully we'll have those for you put on your calendar in the next week or so. But I really need for you to come out for this. We've got a wonderful... This thing just isn't behaving this week, is it? Last week either. Is there a buzz? Maybe this is a problem. It's broken. This one doesn't seem to have any buzz earlier. Okay. Get on track where I was. Please come out for the different events for Missions Conference. Again, I don't know what they are or when they're going to be, but they will be on the 2nd and 3rd. I know you like those details. But we just want to get you in suspense. Actually, we've got some wonderful posters. And this year's theme is, Are You In? And the in that they're talking about is, Are You In for the Great Commission? So, with that, I think that's all the announcement type stuff we've got time for. Other than I just want to comment again on the coincidences that our Lord seems to put together. Again, He just deals with every detail. Now, here we are, Communion Sunday, and we are talking about John chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. The empty tomb, if you would, the Easter morning, traditional Easter morning message. If there is any message which is more appropriate for a Communion Sunday, I don't know what it is. And Lord just laid it out this way. You say, well, you know, we had a 1 in 4 shot of hitting at that. Well, you know, Lord just laid it all out. He kind of gave me a theme for this next couple of weeks as we go through chapter 20 here. It's going to be about light bulb moments. And you'll see what we're talking about when we get there. We'll just turn our Bibles to chapter 20 of the Gospel of John, or just look up on the screen. Chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over, and he looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived, and he went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you first loved us. You loved us so much that you sent your Son Jesus to live and die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. But more than that, Lord, that you resurrected him as the first fruits, as the promise of that hope of salvation and eternity with you. Now, Lord, we pray that as we look at this Scripture passage this morning, that you would send your Holy Spirit to indeed illuminate this Scripture for us, to give us understanding, so, Lord, that we could have that light bulb moment, that we could see and believe. Now, Father, send your Holy Spirit to minister to us. Guide and direct me as I preach. Father God, might it be your words that I speak and not my own. Heavenly Father, let it be your name that is lifted up. Let it be your name that is praised. May we seek you and find you, and then follow you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we got a very guy thing that happens here in this passage. It's almost laughable. Peter and John, bless their hearts, they are so much like typical guys. But they are, aren't they? Mary runs up and says, "They've taken Jesus. We don't know where he is." So what's their first reaction? Go make sure that she knew what she was talking about. After all, she didn't have eyes of her own. You know, maybe she missed him somewhere in the tomb. They run down there, they look in the tomb. Nope, you're right, it's empty. I mean, I feel like I'm watching Comedy Central and we got doing the redneck thing. Yep. You know, wife runs up and says, "You know, there's nothing there." And the guy runs over and says, "By golly, you're right." Why do you guys do that? Why do we don't believe anybody. You tell me there's nothing in there, I'm going to go open it up and look and say, you're right. It's true, isn't it? Most guys do that. Why? Well, we're very visual. I mean, after all, that's why it's important that we all look nice. That we take time to wear nice clothes, brush our hair, shave, trim beards, do things like that, because we're very visual people. We want to look nice for others. We want to be, look, otherwise we'd just all run around looking like me. But, no, men and humans in general are very visual. We need to see. That's why blindness we consider to be such a terrible, terrible thing. Even a blind person speaks of seeing, visualizes within their mind These are phrases that we use. Talk about. So what did they see? They went and they saw that the stone had indeed been rolled away. And instead of seeing what nothing, we saw that the grave clothes were still there. And in the original Greek, the sense that's given is as if the clothes had just fallen off the body, fallen through the body onto the spot. It's like they're like, boom, right there. Like if you'd taken them off, rewrapped them and folded them out, laid them out just like you'd been there. This is not an action of somebody who was robbing a grave, stealing a body. You don't take off the grave clothes and lay everything out nice and neat and put everything in position as if the body was still there, but there's no body. See, all that was there were the grave clothes, right in the place where the body had been. That's what they saw. Now, some of the commentators are kind of wondering, they make allowances for John. They say, well, John didn't go into the tomb because he's afraid. Maybe the body was still there. Well, he already knew there was no body. I mean, Mary said there was no body. So maybe he didn't want to go in because he was afraid of becoming unclean or coming in the presence of a dead body. But actually, I think it's just because he's a young guy and he got there and got scared. What's going on? This is beyond normal. Comes up, he peeks in, he can see there's the grave clothes lying there. But whoa, this is weird. And Peter being Peter, just bowls right in, runs in, looks around, says, yep, nobody's here. But the grave clothes are here. He wasn't stolen. See, Mary makes the assumption. She looks in, boom. He's not here. Somebody must have taken him. Forgetting the fact that the grave clothes had been left. And that just doesn't make any sense. But Jesus had been preaching and preaching and telling them, you know, after 3 days, I'll raise up this temple again. Then we had the light bulb moment. He understood. He believed. John looked and he saw. And the light, why did he see? Because the light bulb came on. I mean, just like in the cartoons. Understanding was shed upon what was going on. Jesus had risen from the grave. He wasn't dead. That's the light bulb moment. And that happens when somebody who has been heart has been prepared by the Holy Spirit runs into the evidence of the resurrected Christ. That light bulb comes on over their head. Bink! And the light bulb allows them to see. Because it's shining light in an area that used to be dark. Now, if the light bulb's not there, it's all dark. I can't see. How many of you, when you walk into a room, you turn on the light, on that switch? You do that so that you can see. And that switch, that light, is the illumination of understanding that comes from the Holy Spirit. We can't have it separate from it. We can't turn on the... It's not a light switch that we can turn on and off ourselves. No. But when our heart and mind has been prepared through the work of the Holy Spirit, and then that evidence of the resurrected Christ comes, that is the flipping on of the switch for us. And that light bulb does appear again, and we can see. Light bulb moments. We're going to be seeing this light bulb the next couple of weeks, because as you read through, if you will read ahead through the rest of John chapter 20, you will see light bulb moment after light bulb moment. Because it's when we see that we believe. Why did Peter and John run to the tomb? So that they could see and believe. Now, was Mary unbelievable? No, they believed her enough to go look for themselves. Isn't that the way we are? How many of us go unequivocally upon the word of somebody else? Very, very rarely. We want to see it for ourselves. We want to go look and check it out. Because when we see it, we believe it. Now, sometimes we can be tricked. That's what illusionists do. Guys like David Copperfield, you know, he's got this elephant up on stage, and 1 minute it's there, next minute it's gone, and we're going, where'd it go? It's just a trick. But now you see it, now you don't. But this wasn't a trick. And when they saw it and they explored it, and they were, and more to the point, it was the Holy Spirit able to come and finally show the illumination. We speak of the, we pray for the Spirit to illuminate the Scriptures for us. But He doesn't just illuminate the Scriptures, He illuminates our lives. He illuminates our faith. When we're singing, one of the hymns this morning, "Oh, the Blood of Jesus," I wanted to add another one. "Oh, the grave of Jesus, oh, the grave of Jesus, oh, the grave of Jesus, its hope grows faith in me." That empty grave. They sought and believed that the Savior is alive. We're going to take communion in celebration of the fact that our Savior just didn't die for our sins to wash us clean, but He rose again from the dead as the first fruits, as a promise to you and to me of an eternity in heaven, that death has no hold over Him and no power. That He is indeed the risen, triumphant Savior in God. That's what John believed. That's what I believe. And I pray that is what you believe. George's... if you two would come forward... going to receive communion this morning.